And back here on KETE, it's a Monday, and we always say the best things about Monday is we get to talk to our good friend from the Minnesota News Network and, of course, the voice of Golden Gopher Athletics, Mike Graham. Mike, a happy Monday and a good afternoon to you.
Yeah, good afternoon to you. Always great to be on, and we're ready to start another week here.
Absolutely, and let's jump right into the Minnesota Twins. We haven't really got a chance to talk about them too much in a recent week. The Twins take, one of the first three games against Seattle. They're going to wrap up that four-game homestand against Seattle coming up tonight, or that four-game series. Yesterday was a good day for the Minnesota Twins. The Bomba squad of old was back in full effect. Six homers, and Minnesota gets their first W of the season.
Yeah, it was a really fun game. I was kind of flipping between that. There was a lot going on. I was obviously watching golf yesterday, and it's one of my favorite days of the year is to see how the final round of the Masters goes. And so, that's marked on the calendar that, nothing should be planned. There's no outside or outdoor activities. We're going to be in front of a TV that day. So I was flipping back and forth. I missed Carlos Correa's homer in flipping back and forth, unfortunately. I did catch both of Buxton's homers because that came early enough. So, yeah, it was, it's a good outcome. The Twins could easily, be 2-1 in that series because I think I was at the game on Friday, the opener, trying to stay warm. It was amazing if you're in the sun how much warmer it was on that day than opposed to sitting in the shade where there was no sun on Friday. But the wind was really picking up, and I think Gary Sanchez hit the ball. I mean, he thought he had won it. I mean, he bat flipped and everything on that last at bat in the ninth. And if that travels another 5 feet, it's out. And if the wind's not blowing like it is, it's out. But that's the breaks, and you end up losing by one on just that single home run that they hit in the first inning. But decent start, I think, for the Twins, and it was fun to watch yesterday, no question.
The one game, and maybe it was the game you're talking about with a Gary Sanchez almost hitting that walk-off homer where the Twins bullpen blew a lead, and right away you go right to Twitter and, well, we trade away Taylor Rogers,
yeah,
and we trade away,
yeah,
our closer. It's going to be interesting to see what Rocco Baldelli does with the closer's role because the Twins really don't have anybody cemented in that spot.
You're right, and actually, now that you think about it, they could be 3-0 because that wasn't the game I was talking about. Opening day, they hit a two-run homer in the first, didn't score again. The Twins got one run, and then Sanchez's shot would have won the game on Friday, and it landed literally the left fielder was back right up against the wall. Couldn't have taken another step. And then you're right, I even spaced off Saturday's game in which Buxton hits the homer to give him the lead in the eighth, and then Tyler Duffy blows it in the top of the ninth. So, all there for the taking, no doubt. So, yeah, they could be 3-0, but that's the breaks, and they're 1-2. So you're right, the Twitter sphere, so to speak, went nuts. And, Duffy has not closed much. I've always been a fan of his. He's got excellent stuff, but he has not been as good. He was not as good last year, and hopefully he can find it. I was surprised that was the guy they chose, but they don't have any bona fide guy. They may have somebody, but they don't have anyone who's done it on a consistent basis. And even with Rogers, if you think about last year, he was not the closer. Remember at the start of the season, it was Colomé who blew about every time he walked out on the mound, he took a can of gasoline with him, it seemed like.
Yep.
And he didn't get anything done. And then it was Robles, right? I think if I'm remembering correctly. And then Rogers would come in certain situations and save the game. I think he had 9 saves as all last year, but he did not play in August and September. So he had, and even the year before that, he was not the closer for this team. He had 30 saves 3 years ago or prior to the pandemic year. So, but that said, he was the only guy on the roster that really, had served in that role and had some success. So they're going to have to piece it together and figure out, who gets that role. And I think they like some of those young guys that throw hard, but I also think they want to put them into some less pressurized situations to get their feet wet first. I mean, I don't know if they want to just throw them in, but at this point, maybe, they're going to have to at some point. But the kid that gave up on Friday in the opener, gave up two singles right away, and then gassed the rest of the lineup in terms of striking out the side. That was pretty impressive. So maybe he's, and he threw 100 miles an hour on several of those pitches. So maybe he's a guy that eventually can come into that role. To me, the real key to that role is you can't walk anybody, and that's where Robles and Colome got in trouble a lot. Was they would put guys on base and free passes, and man, that's a hard thing to do, save games when you're giving guys free bases.
Mike Grimm Monday here on Kate Radio. Twins will wrap up that four-game series with Seattle tonight. Game right here on Kate. Dodgers come to town for a quick two-game series starting tomorrow. Mike, it's the play-in game tomorrow night for the Minnesota Timberwolves. They get the 7th seed. They're going to host the Los Angeles Clippers. A late one, 8:30 start, probably more like an 8:45 start from Target Center. I'm optimistic, but at the same time, as a big-time, huge Timberwolves fan, I'm a little nervous this week because I could see this team being the Clippers tomorrow night. I could see this team going 0-2 barbecue and being done this week. Because with our Minnesota Timberwolves, you never know.
Yeah, I agree with that. I 100% agree because they've had, you've got some semblance that when they put it together, they're as hard probably to beat as anybody, right? When they're cooking, when D'Angelo Russell's hitting threes and running the floor and making it, playing the controlled kind of game he should play, and obviously Towns and Edwards have also been good, and then there's nights where they can't defend, and they're on a streak right now where they haven't defended much. I think last night I saw somebody tweet out, I did not watch a minute of last night's game, but I think I saw somebody tweet out that at one point they'd given up 50 points in like a 16-minute stretch to the Bulls. Now, they did not play a couple of starters, and including Towns and Russell, and then the other starters did not play as much, but it was the bench that brought them back anyway, so they're not exactly going into the postseason with momentum, but I think everyone understands what was going on last night. I think that was fine not to play some of those guys, get them some rest, get them fresh legs, and go tomorrow. But I do think this, if you don't win tomorrow, and this Clippers team, by the way, is playing pretty well. I think Paul George is back, and that matters. That makes a difference. They're better than probably the team the Clippers were earlier, but if you don't win that game tomorrow, then that next game, play-in game, really becomes, a pressurized situation because it would really be a thud of an ending if you're 0-2 and gone. So tomorrow is vitally important. And I don't know, but my hunch is that the Wolves are a slight favorite in that game. So go out and do what you're supposed to do, right?
2.5 game or 2.5 point favorite against the Clippers tomorrow night. 8:30 start in that play-in game. Mike, I know you have to run, so before we let you go, you mentioned you cleared off your Sunday to make sure you're watching the Masters yesterday. Give us your thoughts on the final day at Augusta.
Yeah, it was great. And by the way, I have time today if you want to talk a little longer. No worries.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I have no place to go. So, we've got I always love the Masters. It's one of my favorite days. And it's fun because it's the only major that is on the same course every year. So, the second they cut to a certain hole, you're like, oh, yeah, he's hitting at 16. Or, oh, yeah, that's 13, the par 5. We got to see what this guy can do. And all that stuff, Rays Creek, and I'm not traditionally I'm a traditionalist usually, but I'm not quite I'm not quite as sentimental as maybe some others are, but that one always gets me. And I've liked Scheffler really from watching him in the Ryder Cup last year when he was kind of chosen as a, I wouldn't say a surprise captain's pick because he was playing pretty well, but he had never won on the tour at that point. And he gets chosen. They play it in Wisconsin, and he really, really controls the field. I mean, he really did a nice job. And so I've kind of taken a liking to him. And he's, won 4 of the last 6 tournaments. So, he was my pick, I guess, if that matters. Who cares, right? But I'm like, Scheffler's going to be hard to beat, and he sure was. He almost, basically close to a wire-to-wire leader in that thing. A few guys pop, but not much. And he did not fold in the pressure, others did, and man, he was good. And then when he did get in trouble, he scrambled like a madman. I mean, he was incredible in the scramble. That very first, or early yesterday, I think it was the second hole, third hole. It was a third hole where he was way left. He got a little relief from the scoreboard, which was a monster break, and then ends up chipping in for birdie. I mean, it's a huge, huge play and a huge part of that tournament. And, you know, from that point on, he never really flinched.
Mike Grimm, talking Masters here on KATE. And was it a Rory McIlroy who had a nice push yesterday? Did I see like -7 to put a little pressure on the guy that won?
Yeah, he did. Rory was that was the tied for the best closing round in the history, 7 under. I think what is that, 65? So you know, or no, it was a 64, I think. So it was, I think he was 8 under. He finished 7 under, but he started the day 1 over. So it was he was 8 under, 64. It was it tied for the best closing round record, one off the course record. And yeah, he eagled 13. And honestly, he had a couple other birdie putts that he didn't hit. I mean, he played that well. He just was around the green all day long. So it was fun to watch him. And you know, he has not won a major since 2015, despite being still one of the top players in the world. So he's been knocking at the door. He's had some runner-up finishes, and it wouldn't surprise me here to see him, you know, win one of these majors yet this year. Obviously, there's, you know, they've got the three remaining, and I want to say the British, the Open, is at St. Andrews this year, so that's going to be, you know, whenever it's at St. Andrews, it's extra special, and we'll see if Rory can be that guy. But there's a whole bunch of guys playing good golf, and it's kind of fun. And then, you know, we haven't even talked about Tiger Woods being back, and I know he ended up not being a factor, and boy, he was really struggling to finish. You could tell that leg that was injured in that car accident was bothering him. But you think about how quickly he's been able to get back, play that round, get that ovation. He had a smile on his face like he won the tournament. So I think that, and we know what kind of a competitor he is, so you know the fact that he, in not playing great, but just the fact that he was back out there, tells you, you know, what kind of an accomplishment that part of it was. And we'll see. I know afterwards he announced that he would be trying to play in the majors and would have a limited schedule, but he actually said he would never play he'll never be a full-time player again based on his, you know, on his health. And guys that have had the success he's had, that's not that uncommon. Even like Phil Mickelson and some of those guys, you know, nobody's, you know, those guys when they're at that level and that age, they're not playing, they don't have to play every week. It's not like they're, you know, throwing their, and really, you know, if you're in the top whatever, you don't have to. But, you know, there's a certain amount of prime earning years that, you know, in those prime earning years, you better be playing every week or close to it, and strategize. But anyway, Tiger said that he probably will never, he won't ever play a full schedule again, but he will pick and choose the right matches and tournaments, and that's enough, right? That's enough. That, you know, that will continue to feed interest, and if he can get his game back to being competitive, then that would even be better.
Sports director, Minnesota News Network, and of course the voice of Golden Gopher Athletics, Mike Grimm on a Mike Grimm Monday. And Mike, let's turn our attention to a Gopher Sports, and I want to get your information on what's going on with spring sports right now for the Gophers. But before we get to that, we got to put a bow on the hockey season. Gophers get beat in the Frozen Four by a Minnesota State. Mavericks looked really good in that semifinal game. And then it looked good for Minnesota State going into the final period against Denver. Denver scores 5 unanswered, including 2 empty netters. They beat Minnesota State 5-1. So Minnesota does not bring home a national title in men's hockey.
Yeah, it's surprising because that way that Mankato State team had been playing, you know, I thought that they would be able to, you know, to win that. Particularly, they're up 1-0, and you're getting into the third period. You figure they just grind it out as a veteran team, but it was a quick back-to-back goal situation for Denver, and I don't know if there was anything to it other than they just got a couple of nice goals, and then you know, they're up 2-1, and then they got a third one, and all of a sudden, that's the game. You know, they got, like you said, the two, you know, you basically punt the last two of the two empty net goals, so it's 5-1, so it makes it look way worse. But, yeah, I want to say with, 15 minutes left in the hockey game, they're up 1-0, and in pretty much command. I mean, that Denver team was one of the top offensive teams in the country, and that great defense that we've seen from the Mavericks all year was just smothering them. And then, man, they scored one goal, and they just started buzzing, as they say in hockey. And they were getting shots off left and right for a 3 or 4 minute stretch, and they They scored three times, and that was that, which was disappointing, certainly. And I know, you know, Minnesota State was disappointed. And they had controlled Minnesota for the second straight year in that, in the tournament. It was in the regional final last year and in the Frozen Four this year. And Minnesota State also got an empty net goal in that win against Minnesota, so it wasn't quite as bad as the 4-1. Gophers led it 1-0 heading into the second, and really did not. I thought Minnesota State, controlled that first period, but Minnesota got a nice turnover, and really kind of a catastrophic turnover for Minnesota State, and the Gophers put it in on a beautiful 2-on-1, 2-on-none. But after that, Minnesota State was really good. So, yeah, the Gophers made it to the Frozen Four. That's a good step for Bob Motzko's program. First Frozen Four under him for the Gophers and the first one since 2014 when they played the national title game. So, it's a good step. They've got a really good recruiting class coming in, including the number one ranked player in the country out of Pennsylvania. And I think there's some optimism for next year. Clearly, they're going to lose some of those guys. They had 14 NHL draft picks, the Gophers did, so we'll see. What the roster looks like in October when they hit the ice again.
Now, Mike, before I let you go, and we know the spring game's coming up at the end of the month for the football team. We'll talk about that coming up maybe in a couple of Mondays. When it comes to a baseball and softball, how are the Gopher teams doing right now? I assume both are in action?
Yeah, they just finished a series, both of them, yesterday. The baseball team after that just horrific year last year where they couldn't find a win. Has been okay, but not great. They're 9-20, and I don't know what their Big Ten record is, but they did beat Maryland yesterday. Maryland's ranked 23rd in the country and maybe the best team in the Big Ten. So they took one of three. They lost the first two and then won yesterday. And the Gopher softball team is just a couple of games over 500, and they beat Iowa 2 of 3 over the weekend, including a 10-2 win yesterday. So, their seasons are well underway. It's kind of fun now that we're into the month of April because they can play some home games. The Gopher baseball was home yesterday. They'll be home tomorrow as well against St. Thomas. And the Gopher women's softball team was on the road this past weekend, but they'll have a doubleheader, a midweek doubleheader against South Dakota State on Wednesday here in the Twin Cities. So it's we're at that time of year where you can go out and watch them in person. Might have to bundle up a little bit yet this week, but it's a long season, and there's a few weeks left of it.
Mike Grimm on a Mike Grimm Monday here on KATE joins us every Monday to recap a state sports and on this occasion talk about the Masters that wrapped up over the weekend. Mike, thank you so much for the time. Have you a great week, and we'll do it again next Monday.
Okay, look forward to it, Aaron. Thank you.